Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals.
Hey, everyone. Ian Sharp here in New Zealand. Yeah, super excited to be on with Emeka. I've seen a lot of his podcasts and the guests that he has on, and those people inspire me just like Emeka does as well. And yeah, I've been investing for about 20 years in New Zealand and for about 3.5 years in the States. So yeah, super excited to jump on today, and hopefully I can share a couple of nuggets that people might find relatable.
No, cool. So you've been investing there for 20 years, you said. So where did it all start?
Well, you know, it started with my first job when I was, 17 years old. And I looked at the people I was working with and what they were doing in the guts of their holidays, where they lived, their cars and everything else. And it didn't excite me. So I started reading books about, mindset and all that kind of thing. But I didn't know of a vehicle to get myself going, especially starting out, I didn't have much money either. So I kept reading books, but I sort of parked it for a little while. I got involved in, night clubbing and everything else. So I parked, my financial future and the personal growth thing for quite a few years. Yeah. So I look back and think, gosh, if coulda, shoulda, woulda. But, the best time to start is yesterday. The next best time to start is today. So I got started about 20 years ago, and it's been a rocky road in some ways. You learn from experiences sometimes, but you also learn through the people that you associate with. And I don't know anyone who's been successful in real estate or any other endeavor that hasn't tripped up a couple of times for various reasons. But it's not how far you fall, it's how much you pick yourself back up and keep moving forward. So, and we never stop learning, right? Emeka, we're students for life, for sure.
No, that's great. So what was your first investment?
Yeah, my first investment was buying a property I knew nothing about, didn't go to the council to find out anything about it. And I shouldn't have bought it. Fortunately, my girlfriend at the time was a real estate salesperson, so she was able to sell it for me quite quickly, but it was a nightmare. And that probably would have put a lot of people off, but I thought, I just got to keep going. I've got to dust myself off. I've got to get smart. And go from there. And fortunately, she had a listing where someone was trying to do a flip, but they needed to sell it quite quickly because they didn't have the funds to settle. She probably shouldn't have told me that. So I put in a fair offer and I purchased it. And after my first marriage, I pretty much lost everything. I had 40 grand to my name, just about turning 40. And the house was, I bought it for 200K, 20% deposit. I went and cleaned it myself, did the gardens and all that kind of stuff and rented it out and went from there. And I didn't do anything for a few years. I thought, I'm an investor now and my retirement's taken care of. I still had a lot to learn, of course. But then I met my wife and we were talking about getting married and starting a family. And I thought, I've got to get back into the investing side. What am I going to do? I hardly know anybody. Most of my friends aren't investors. They're happy to pay off their mortgage for 30 years and do the same thing every year, right? And it's like, I want more than that. I want to continue to do volunteer work, not just in New Zealand, but overseas. And I want to be in control of my own time and money, because while I'm working for someone else, they dictate how much I get paid, how many holidays I have and when I can take them and all that kind of stuff. And I never really liked that 9-to-5 mentality. Would never really sat very well with me. So I joined a mentoring organization here in New Zealand and started networking with people, starting to get to know people a little bit. And because we weren't earning that much money, I needed to start buying duplexes, where they had two incomes coming from one property. And we'd do that, we'd buy and we'd renovate it, get good tenants in there and wait a little while, refinance it, get some money out and do that. And we did that a number of times, half a dozen times. And it was going really well, but it did get to a point where the bank wouldn't lend us any more money and the market had changed and all that. So what we did is we sold a couple of our properties to pay off our own house. So we thought, well, let's just pay off our own house and reduce our financial footprints a little bit. And I thought, well, we're comfortable now. We've got a few properties. We're doing pretty well. And Then I came across a post from Hadar, and I thought, gosh, what's he talking about investing in the States? Because I had spoken to him about it a couple of years before that at a networking gathering in Auckland, and here he is investing in America. So I rang him up and said, "Hey man, how's I've spoken to you before? How's life, etc." And he told me that he was having a guy called Marco Barbaro were running a mastermind in the States, and that he'd also been investing in the States for half a dozen years and really, really enjoying it. So I did my own due diligence. I rang up a couple of people that were in the group, and I liked what they had to say. And primarily I was going into this for the finances, break that ceiling that we had and move to the next level. But very quickly it became about the people. It became about building those relationships, getting to understand people's life and their history and what they were doing it. And I found so many similarities in it. Hey, it's not about the McMansions and the big cars and all that, but hey, if you want them, that's cool. But it's more about having life choices, being able to travel. Like I'm from England originally. If someone gets sick in England, I can jump on a plane and I can be there within 24 hours or so. Having those life choices, because we only get one shot at this, Amika. There's no coming back for an encore. We've got to make the most of it as well. Yeah, so I've just really enjoyed building relationships in the last 3.5 years. I've been in the MIH community. I'm involved in a couple of LP deals in Oklahoma and Kansas City. And yeah, I wouldn't be investing in the States on my own. So just having that security and that wisdom and that experience with the people in the States and that the ethics that they have as well makes me sleep well at night, knowing that everything has been done really, really well.
No, I love that. And it sounds like, your connections and networking with people has been one of the most beneficial things for you. So whenever you did that first deal, most people, as you said, they would probably run away because how bad the deal was, as you're saying. So what was the mindset behind, you said you stopped for a couple of years. So what made you want to keep going into real estate?
Well, for me, it seemed like the best vehicle for what we could do. I love anything to do with leverage. Like we have leverage all around us. Like I'm sitting on a seat right now, just like you. That seat is leverage, right? Because otherwise we're going to have to stand. So we use leverage every day. Our cars are leveraged to take us from A to B, etc. And often our whys need to be bigger than ourselves for us to move forward with anything. And for me, it was with my wife and my son. It's like, I want to be able to provide for them and not have someone else dictate our holidays, where we go for, where we live, what car we drive, and everything else. I just wanted freedom for our family, and I just felt that burn come alive that I had when as a 17-year-old when I first started work. But the burn was bigger because it wasn't just about me anymore. So I think having a huge why and something that's bigger than yourself is really important, whatever your endeavor is, because otherwise we'll tend to just stick with the status quo. It's like, hey, my friends are, I drive a similar car to my friends, we've got a similar house, we go on holidays, similar, whatever. It's like being in a warm bath, right? It's like, it's comfortable and all that kind of thing.
So you want to tell a little bit about what your portfolio is?
Yeah, so currently we've got some duplexes in Auckland, which is New Zealand's biggest city. We've got a land bank property next to some shops with a nice big backyard that we could develop in the future. And I'm involved in a couple of, like I said earlier, a couple of LP deals in Kansas City and Oklahoma. So moving forward, with the relationships that I've built and the degree of knowledge that I've picked up, and again, you never stop learning. Really keen to get into some more joint venture deals with people, ones that we keep for our kids and that kind of things. Smaller ones, 10 to 20, 30 unit deals that will generational wealth for our families. That's really where I'm at. But yes, for me, primarily it's the relationships, and everything else will take care of itself. If you plant into other people's lives and you look at ways to serve them unconditionally and all that kind of thing, good things happen. Whether it's in your community, whether it's something else, it's such an important thing. And you asked me to talk about a couple of books that I recommend and think a couple of books that have been really pivotal to me. Well, obviously, Rich Dad Poor Dad was one of the major ones back in the day, and then another one, The Richest Man in Babylon. That was really important to me too. But more in the last couple of years since I've joined the MIH community, one is The Go Giver. This book here, really, really love that book, and the power of being in a network was made real to me really quickly, because within a couple of weeks of during MIH, I was in a Zoom call with actually the guy who wrote this book. It's like, wow. And there's about 20 people on this call. It's like, you almost felt like you were there, like with this guy. It's like, I would never have this opportunity without being around like-minded people that have been doing this longer than me, that have built these connections with these authors and all that kind of thing. So that really hit home for me. And then when I read this book, it's like I really relate to this book, but I've never had it in a printed format, so I could actually collate how I feel and what I like to do for other people. So this book was really, really powerful for me, and it's definitely one of my favorites. And then another book is The Honeybee as well, written by Marco's brother Gino and Gino's partner Jake Stenzio. And I love parables. You know, it's one thing to read a book and it's got bullet points and all that, but when you actually read a parable, it takes you on a journey, and you get immersed in it and everything else. And it's a bit like Richest Man in Babylon. I really relate to that kind of format. And it's like, yeah, you know, you've got to think differently to the normal out there, and you've got to take action. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to go meet people, and there's going to be dead ends along the way, but you just got to be consistent, and you just got to keep turning up every single day. And consistency is something I think is not a big deal for a lot of people these days. They want things now. They want instant gratification. They want results now. They want to post it on Facebook. They want to show everybody what they're doing. And you know, let's just I want to be a humble go-giver that's just slowly every day moving forward. And I want people to look at me and say, gosh, if Ian Sharp in New Zealand can do it, I can do it. You know what I mean? And I think that's really what I want, because yeah, man, like nothing comes easy. Like being fit and all that, I've got to work for it. You know, some people walk past the gym and they freaking put on some, they get some guns just by walking past the gym. Everything has come hard to me, man. We came to New Zealand from England in 1972 on a boat. Back then, the pound was worth less than the dollar. So we were dirt poor. We were having to clean movie theaters on the weekend just to make ends meet. And I know what it's like to not have much money. We'd go, you know, on Christmas Day, we'd go to the special place to have to be given Christmas lunch, because you know we didn't have our own Christmas lunch and all that kind of stuff. And the thing my dad said to me was, son, never give up. You know, just freaking keep on going. And that's the best bit of advice my dad's ever given me. So I appreciate not being handed things. I appreciate that anything you want, you've actually got to go out there and get it, but you've also got to get out there and give it as well. You know, I think that's really important.
If you could start all over again, how would you redo everything when it comes to your real estate portfolio and how you got into it?
Yeah, and that's a funny one. We can dwell on that as people, and we often do. But yeah, I wish after I'd bought that first property that I'd got serious then. But I look back even in my early 20s and stuff, you know, I was flatting with a lady, and her boyfriend was a real estate investor back then, you know, in the 80s and stuff. And it's like, why didn't I talk to him about it? You know what I mean? Like, why? And I had a couple of other opportunities that that passed me by. And sometimes opportunities are right in front of us, but we're so busy looking somewhere else that we don't recognize them. And I guess if I've got three pieces of advice, I think that's something you wanted me to do was first of all, take stock of your current situation, like where you are, and look at the trajectory you're on. It's like, is that going to get you where you want to go? Like, is that, because if it is, great, just keep doing what you're doing, right? But if it's not, then you need to pivot. You need to sit down, write out a goal, a game plan with your partner, if you've got one, separate ones, and then bring them together. And the third thing is start meeting people. You know, you've got to get out of the house. You've got to get out, attend meetings, and a lot of things are going to turn up. No one's It's going to be a no-show or whatever. You just got to keep on getting out there and making it happen. You know, when I used to go to these Auckland meetups, it would sometimes it'd be the pouring rain, or it was like an hour each way to get there. And I think, what am I doing here? You know, like this really isn't clicking for me. People are in their little groups, and I feel like no one can see me. But I met Hadar there. You know, I met Hadar, and we've been friends for 17, 18 years now. And little did I know, a few years later, that opportunities were going to arise. So even if you feel like you're not making progress, you're growing as a person. That's really, really important.
And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the same three questions. So you answered the first one. You know, what are the two books you would recommend the aspiring investor to read, which was The
Yep.
Go Giver and The Honeybee? Second question is going to be, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that has helped you in your career?
Yeah, definitely just my dad telling me never give up. You know, like never give up. That's probably been the most important thing. And because it was a family member and someone I could see was trying really hard for the family, that really hit home for me, because it's wonderful to hear people speak eloquently about this and that. But it's actually really relatable to you, and you're actually in the trenches with them. That was really a big deal for me, and that stuck with me. And it was really, it's only a few words, but it meant the world to me. And That's honestly the best thing that my dad's ever told me.
And third question would be, if you could have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Yeah, that's a good question. I had to think about it for a while, and I didn't want to pick people that necessarily everybody knows, but Winston Churchill is someone that I would really be interested to catch up with. There's still a lot about him that I don't know, but I know that back before the Second World War started, that in Germany were doing their thing and starting to, to prepare for war and everything else. The government was saying, "Hey, we need to get alongside Germany. We need to, we need to become build better partnerships with them, everything else." And he was pretty much on his own, thinking, "No, if we do anything like that, these guys are going to overrun us. They're going to take over our country, etc." So he stood up against the masses, against what was popular, and said, "No, we've got to prepare ourselves for war, And obviously his speeches, they make the hair on your back of your neck stand up. We'll beat them on the beaches, and all that kind of stuff. Just seemed like an amazing man, and the world would be probably a lot different if that one person didn't do what he did.
Oh, cool. And in 30 seconds before we head out, what are three actionable items that people can do today to get started in their career?
I guess I've already covered that. Really, is take stock of where you're at, right? Because unless you do that, you don't realize how much time we're wasting, and that we're, on the wrong train. I remember years ago in Wellington, the capital, I was sitting on in a carriage waiting for it to go to take me home, and 20 minutes went past. There's about five people in this carriage, and the carriage wasn't even hooked up to the train, but the train had taken off, and someone hadn't hooked it up. So we've got to make sure we're on the right train for a start. And if we're not on the right train, freaking work that out, and then just get around people. Look at ways to serve. Hey, this meetup that I go to, is there something I can I help put out the seats? What can I do? Get to know the speakers or whatever else. Get there early, leave late. Because some of the best conversations are when most people have gone home. And really, really work on your mindset. Readers are leaders, and we are who we associate with, but also with what we read as well. Be very careful about what we take in. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the States the last couple of days. Just take everything with perspective, and look at things from a third person point of view, and think that you and know that ourselves, we've got our own filters, we've got our own way of thinking of things. And step outside that as well.
I love it. I love it. And how can the audience reach out to you if they have any questions?
Yeah, probably the easiest way would be through Facebook. So I think you put my Facebook link with your podcast and everything else. But yeah, I love meeting new people and connecting and talking about wellness and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. When I first started with the MIH 3.5 years ago, I helped set up a wellness page. We've got about 180 people in that group talking about nutrition, supplements, exercise programs and all that kind of thing. And it was something I could bring to the table because I've been into nutrition for over 30 years. And I'm for my age, I feel like I'm pretty fit, pretty healthy, but I love sharing and learning from other people in that arena as well.
All right, Ian, thank you so much for joining the show, and I hope to have you back soon.
Thanks, Amika. Hey, thanks for having me, my man. I look forward to catching up with you again.